Thanks for tuning in to The Good Glow today. Wow, do I have a conversation for you all about how you can follow your dreams and take things off your vision board and make them a reality. This is so inspiring. Rosie and her husband Paul have become two of the most successful entrepreneurs in this country with their brand Fourth Arc. I spoke to Rosie a week before she went live with her business. And last year, I was sitting beside her at an event and I got to hear about the growth, how huge Fourth Arc is and the incredible impact it is having on their lives. And there are so many learnings in this. I'm so excited for you to hear it. And honestly, this success couldn't be happening to nicer people. So I'm so grateful to Rosie for coming on and sharing so openly and honestly today about the highs and the lows. Before we get into it, I just wanted to thank Yoplait Skier for supporting The Good Glow this season. At Yoplait, quality is their passion, and their commitment to health and nutrition starts with the sourcing of ingredients. Three core values, pleasure, simplicity, and joy, help Yoplait deliver healthy, delicious, and nutritious pots of enjoyment to their customers. So let's talk about Skier, a great nutritious yogurt. Skier is a creamy Icelandic recipe like Greek yogurt. It's packed full of protein, fat-free, and Yoplait Skier has only one ingredient, milk. I personally love their big pots, and Skier Natural 850 grams is available across Aldi stores nationwide. So let's start this conversation with Rosie, and I'll ask you one favour. If this resonates with you today, please share it with someone else that you think has a dream on their vision board. Rosie Connie, thank you so much for joining me on The Good Glow today. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm so glad to be back. I feel like it has been such a journey since we last spoke. I think we have such great conversations every time we get to meet. So I'm really excited to be back.
The reason why I asked you to come back is, well, I'll tell the listeners about the voice memo I sent. So I didn't want to put you on the spot. And I know Nima, who's your marketing manager, and I sent her a voice memo and it was like the pitch of my life. I was like, I want to talk to Rosie. I want to talk about Fourth Arc. I want like the things she does in her personal life to make her business great, what she sacrificed, blah, 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 blah. And then I just got a text from you to say,
absolutely yes.
I was like, oh, I didn't know it'd be that easy.
Because Nima sent it to me and she's like, what do you think? And I was like, I was laughing that you wouldn't message me because I get not wanting to put me on the spot, but it's different with you. Like you could ask me to go to the moon and I'd be like, I'm there. And I don't say yes to a lot of things. But with you, I was like, of course I want to come on. I'm honored that you've asked me. I said, absolutely. I would love to come on. So I'm so glad we've been able to make it work.
Well, we went for dinner. We were at Kim O'Sullivan, who's a mutual friend, a gorgeous event that she had last year. I was lucky enough to sit beside you, and I really got the Fourth Arc story. And that's the reason that I asked you back, because so much has happened since our last podcast. It was the week before you were launching Fourth Arc. You hadn't announced the name. People were still speculating as to whether you were doing beauty. And we stood in the car park after the podcast and you were like, I'm doing fashion. We're going for it. And I feel like since that day, you've never looked back.
No, I actually feel like a different person back then. I was so full of nerves and other people's doubt about what we were doing. And so many people had told me, don't do fashion. It's not going to work. The margins are wrong. Like, just stick to beauty. That's what you studied, was makeup. And I love beauty. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love beauty. And I think they both go very much hand in hand. But I always knew fashion was what I wanted to do. And I was so full of nerves of what people... do you know what? I think back then I was so concerned about what people thought of me and of my choices in life. And I think, thankfully, I have grown a lot since then. And I definitely care less about those opinions. And I just go for things that feel right for me. I don't know whether that's just age or whether it's the journey of Fourth Arc. And I remember that feeling of I knew in my gut that it was right. And I knew in my gut that I'd given it everything I could and that my heart and soul was in it. So I kind of was like, look, it's either going to work or it's not going to work. But I'm ready to make that mistake if it is a mistake. And I'll learn from it. And obviously it's gone so well. And it's been like a rocket ship that we're just like hanging on for dear life. And I've learned so much from Fourth Arc. I feel like it has changed my life. It's changed my personality. It's changed everything for the better. And even for that, if Fourth Arc ended in the morning, I'm so grateful for the last 3 years that I've had in the business. It's been amazing.
So you literally were renting before you created Fourth Arc, yourself and Paul. It was during COVID that you were chatting about the business, creating it. Paul had a normal job in inverted commas. So like, tell me about that time. And, you know, did you have the idea for years? Were you sitting on it for a long time? How did it come about?
I had this on my vision board. The vision board is somewhere. It could either be in our old rented house's attic or it's in our attic. I don't know. So if someone's in my old rented house, you can go up and have a look. But I did an actual like vision board back when I had Harry. I think like Harry's 9 now, so easily 8 years ago, I'd say. And I had a beautiful clothes shop picture. And I was like, I want to have my own fashion brand, whether that be a store, whether that be online, I can see it. It almost looks like, you know, Refi. I love Refi, the brand. I think it's amazing. And almost like her pop-ups. It was that kind of image. And it was just really minimal. It was really, really nice. And I was like, I that's what I want to have going forward. I had no idea how I was going to get there. I had no idea what the name, anything. I just knew that was my long-term goal. And at the time I was like in the thick of being a new mom, and I knew that my 20s was going to be being a mom and being dedicated to being a mom. And in my head, I kind of thought, well, my 30s will be for my career. And if I can really focus on being a mom and raising my kids in my 20s, I can then hopefully focus a bit more on my career in my 30s. I didn't have it in me to do both at the time. And so lockdown came. Paul was in refrigeration engineering, so he would have worked in like all the pubs and bars and restaurants. So that just shut, like overnight, done. He was out of work. He does not cope well with not being busy and doing things. He's like, he's the one that doesn't sit down. I can definitely chill. Like I'm quite a chilled person. He doesn't cope well with that. So obviously how we all felt in lockdown was kind of like, oh, just another 3 weeks. And then just another 3 weeks. And then it kind of was like, is this going to open up anytime soon? Like, what are we going to do? I still had all my influencing work, which was actually really busy at the time, because most brands with everything being moved online were using their marketing budget for influencing and promoting products online. So I was quite busy. So thankfully, money-wise, we were okay. And eventually, I think over many, many, many glasses of wine, because that's all we did during lockdown was like 5 o'clock came, I was like, open a glass of red, open a bottle of red wine. And I kind of said to him, like, you know, we'd already spoken about it before. I was like, I always knew we'd work well together. We just were very opposite. And I think that's what makes it work. I feel very calm when I'm around him. I can get a bit stressed and anxious and wound up when I'm not with him. But then it's like, he's like that kind of calm energy. And so we just, I knew I always wanted to do it. I said, like, I can't do it on my own. I have all this influence and work as well. I'm also terrible at like making things happen. I'm very much a dreamer, but actually picking up the phone and going, right, let's ring the website developer. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. Like I'm a dreamer, not a doer. And so he's the total opposite. Like he will literally be like, what do we need to do? Right, Grant, ring. Okay, spoke to your man. Actually know a guy who knows a guy. That's sorted. And I was like, oh my God. Like, within 2 days, the ball was rolling. And I was like, I've had this up here for so long. And he was able to take it into the real world. And that's still how we work. Like I'll have a mad idea and then he actually executes it, because I'm a procrastinator.
Like if he didn't have that break in work, where would you be?
He would never have walked away from his job, because it was absolutely flying. He loved it. He was so busy. He loved being around people, and it was a job that he was always with people. He knew everybody, and he would never, how would he have gone, oh, I'm going to just shut down something that's making me good money and I have business there to kind of test the waters with something. So it took him actually not having work to take an option to kind of come over with me. And he was very much like, I'm not going to just be like your assistant here. Like I'm not, you know, I'm not just here to assist you in something. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it together. We're going to, you know, have mutual involvement, like very much partners. And so we actually didn't really tell that many people because, well, we couldn't see anybody. We actually told, so we've a really, really close group of neighbors from where we were living when lockdown happened. And we're still so close. Like, we've all kind of moved. Some people have stayed, but they were kind of the only ones we told. And what I loved was they're all from different backgrounds. They're all different age groups. And they were all like, amazing, like, go for it. It's brilliant. And so they're still, they're with us now, having been the ones sitting around having a glass of wine with us going, what do you think of this name? What do you think of that name? And like, they're so proud of how far it's come because they've witnessed the doubts and the, oh my God, are we doing the right thing? Or like, we put so much money into it. Like, we basically put our mortgage deposit, which we'd saved, into it because we couldn't buy a house. The housing market was a mess at the time. And I was like, right, we don't have an option of this failing, because if it fails, we've just thrown away our mortgage deposit, which is going to take ages to build back up, and he's not working. So it was a massive risk. And actually someone said to me, what was your plan B, like, if it didn't work? And I was like, we didn't have one. We didn't actually consider it not working.
Do you know what? I've a couple of thoughts there. First of all, I love the sitting around the kitchen table on a Friday night and having talking about the dream before it happens and being so fully, having so much belief in it. But I can also totally relate to how Paul implements things. So, you know, the way you said, like, in your 20s, it was on your vision board and you wanted to fully commit to being a mom and being there for Harry. Do you think it ever would have happened unless he took it out of this like dreamy, beautiful cloud that you had it on? Like, this is the future that, like, and I'm literally picking up the phone and starting to ring people because that's the hardest thing for me to do as well, is actually to put the wheels in motion and actually do the really hard stuff to make the dream come true.
Do you know what? I think that's the bit that scared me, because I knew the minute that we started, it was happening. And I think goals, when they're that big, because it was huge in my head, I was like, this needs to be massive. Like, I don't want it to just be a little, you know, I want it to be huge. And I if we're going to do it, I don't want to limit what we think it's going to look like. It needs to be massive. And I don't know whether I purposely never activated that because of fear of what the future would look like and what would happen once we actually started doing it. Whereas he just doesn't have that fear. And he's just like, let's go, let's get moving. And I would have been like, but oh, maybe, and I probably would have found reasons not to do it.
Yeah. Because it's so important to you and it's such a big dream that if it doesn't work out the way you fantasized about it your whole life, then what? And that's why we don't go for it.
It's safer to leave it on a vision board because then it's still a dream and no one has tarnished with it and it's still up there and it's still possible. But actually, actively going for it, then there's a risk of it not happening. And I think that, and I am someone who would sometimes allow fear to like stifle me a little bit. I'm getting better at it because I think just with practice and kind of going, well, it worked that time. So, you know, and don't get me wrong, there has been fails throughout this as well. Like, there's been things that haven't worked or things that haven't worked out. And that, like, I don't want anyone to think that it's just like we took a step and it all worked out. It's been really hard, like really tough as well. I don't take any of it for granted. I love every second of it, but like, it's been tough at the same time. But still, like, it's living out a dream. And it's actually bigger and better than I could have ever imagined on my vision board. Like, when I think of our pop-up that we did in Arnott's versus what the picture was on my vision board, I'm like, that blew it out of the water. Like, it's amazing. But I do think you're right. I think it is safer to have something on your vision board than it is to actually start making small steps to get there. So I don't think without COVID, without him losing his work, and without him, his personality, I don't know. I think I'd still be like, look at my vision board. It's amazing.
it's a great, I suppose, lesson in sharing your ideas and your dreams and your hopes and ambitions with someone you trust and love and someone who can help you. Because if you keep them all to yourself,
like I said it out loud to Jamie about the Good Glow, and you know, he came on board and I said, oh, we should do New York and we should do this and we do that, but like they're all the grand ideas I have. He's actually making it happen.
It's having somebody that backs you like 100% and is never goes to you, oh, Toppy's ridiculous, like that's too big or that's never going to work, like that's not your person. Like you need somebody who is like, even if it is the most ridiculously big goal, that is going to go, yeah, cool, like let's see what happens, let's make it happen, or I'll support you regardless whether it goes well or it doesn't.
So tell me then about, okay, so let's talk about the night before you launched. Like how are you feeling? What's that, you know, that like when you're lying in bed together in the dark and you're both like trembling?
It is terrifying, absolutely terrifying. And I think because like with my social media following, I was like, people have an expectation, like I wasn't, they were kind of like, this needs to be good, and you know, there's people that are automatically want to just go, it's shit, I hate it. So I knew that I was never going to please everybody. But you know what, I think both of us were so happy with what we'd done that even if it never saw the light of day, we were proud of it. Yeah. And my mom's going to kill me for this, but, and I slag her about this all the time, but when we launched, everything sold out obviously within like, I don't know, an hour or two, and we were like, oh my god, like we were blown away. And like it wasn't a massive order, it was for us, but like now when I look at what we're doing, it was a small enough order, but I thought we were going to be months selling this stuff. And my mom came over and she's like, typical Irish mom, she's like, oh, it's amazing, and that won't happen again. And I was like, what? She goes, actually, that was just the initial launch, she wouldn't do that again, you wouldn't do those numbers again. And every time we launch something, I'm like, oh, we wouldn't do that again, mom, would we? And yeah. She's like, oh, stop. But it's a typical, my mum will keep you grounded, like she's so proud of me, but like would always go, you know, yeah, but like that was a bit of luck as well. And she's just, it's a wee swagger all the time, like anytime we have a big launch or you see a billboard or whatever, I'm like, yeah, we wouldn't do that again though.
Yeah, and you need that because she's trying to protect you and keep you safe in those moments.
She doesn't want me to lose the run of myself and then be disappointed, so she's just like, let's keep your expectations at an achievable point. But she'll kill me for saying that because she's so proud of what she is, but she's just typical Irish mom, like, she wouldn't do that again.
Yeah. So Rosie, do you mind me asking then, and you know that I don't focus on any sort of negativity on the Good Glow, but I also think this is one of the best things that happened to you in hindsight.
Yeah.
So you've spoken about your lowest point in Fourth Arc to date and how it turned into the biggest lesson for you.
Oh my god, yeah, it was. I still break out in sweat when I think about this time.
First of all, how do you feel about talking about it? Is it okay for you now?
Totally fine now, because I can see I see the lesson in it now, and I see it as such a, like it was a horrible lesson to learn. You know, in those ones where you're like, I know you're teaching me something, universe, but like I've learned it now, please just leave me alone. It was one of the most anxiety inducing moments of my life. Like I didn't get out of bed for 2 days. I worked from bed because I had to work. I was like, you know, that feeling of being frozen in fear or frozen in like, I don't know what to do. Like I'm not coping. I'm not coping with figuring this out. So basically, for anyone that doesn't know, we had launched, sold out, then we took all the money, put, like all we've done is just keep taking the money and put it back in, invest it back in. And we put in this massive big order, and when we looked at the space in our garage, we were like, actually that's not going to fit in our garage and we're not going to be able to store it here, and like all these things, you're not like we weren't used to this world. So we do something and then go, oh shit, we didn't think about where we're going to put all these pallets, that's not going to fit there. You know, we're a lot more organized now, but so we outsourced our fulfillment. So I didn't think we'd get to this stage for years. Like I thought we'd be packing our orders forever. And we were like, right, we'll get a fulfillment center. And we were really under time pressure to get it over the line because we knew that this stuff was on a ship and it was coming and like it wasn't going to fit in our garden. So it needed to go somewhere. And anyway, something happened where our integration with their system didn't connect. So when it launched, we didn't realize there was that going to be that much traffic, right? So we put up the stock. The traffic was insane. And it was like, what happens with our drops is everyone comes on at the same time and they try and check out at the same time. So it's not a steady flow over a couple of hours. It's like all really high heat, big spike, and then it drops off. And so we're sitting there in the kitchen and we're like, this is mad that like we're not fulfilling the orders. And we thought, this is like brilliant. You know, we don't have to actually fulfill all this. We have a team to do it. And next of all, Paul kind of looks at the laptop and he's like, why does it say that we've made X amount? We knew if we sold out of the product, we'd make X. And this figure was above that. And I was like, how could we have made that much? And then it was going up and up and up. And we were like, we don't have that value of stock. Like we don't, that. So we were like, something wrong. So we rang our web guy who's in the UK and we were like, shut the website down, like shut it down. There's something wrong. Rang our fulfillment. They were like, no. Anyway, it basically wasn't registering the orders going through. So it kept updating our stock as if we still had stock. So we oversold by, was it 6,000 orders? Yeah. So sorry, we oversold by 6,000 orders. So that's 6,000 people had bought a product that we didn't have.
And probably multiple products within those 6,000.
Multiple products. We had their money. We then had to shut everything down. We then had to manually, individually refund every single customer, one by one. There's no group way of doing it. Like maybe there is now, but it was I didn't know. I'm not a web person, I'm not a tech person. We spent, and when I say we had all hands on deck to help us, our customer service or our Instagram went bananas. Obviously, people were so pissed off because they were like, I bought it. Like it says it's there. I bought it. Why am I? And then if I get refunded, I don't get the refund for three to five days. Like it was horrible. I genuinely said to Paul, I was like, that's us screwed. I was like, it's over. No one's going to come back. They're not going to come back. We're a brand new business and we messed this up so badly.
So that was your second drop, was
second
it?
Second drop.
Are you able to cry in that moment or are you gone past?
Oh, I cried. Like I was frozen as well. Like I remember feeling physically like I was going to vomit. I felt so frozen because I genuinely, the mountain ahead was so big and I didn't know how to fix it. I was like, I don't know if there's a manual way that you can like do it quicker or email, how do we email all these people? And it was such a big thing to try and handle that I froze at the bottom of the hill. And I was like, I don't know how to get up this hill. And we just had to work through it. And we had like, people were so good. I have to shout out one person and that's Sabrina Hill. I had only met her a handful of times and all of this happened and she reached out and she logged in to our business account on Instagram and actually went back to every customer for days, helping us reply to people, getting through DMs, getting through, like, I mean, I can't tell you that type of kindness to basically a stranger. Cause she was like, my heart's broken for you. Like it's, and people were so nasty. And I couldn't go into the messages cause people were so horrible that it was sending me over the edge. I'm so upset. I couldn't go on being like crying down the phone, being like, I'm so sorry. Like we were trying to be a professional business and we didn't want to, you know, make it personal. So anyway, that was a hellish, probably 3-4 weeks, right? It was, and then we obviously had to figure out what went wrong, who's responsible, all this other stuff. But my priority was let's just get everybody refunded and fulfill the orders that had actually gone through. So when the like trauma of that had died down, it made us realize if we had the stock, we could have done three times what we actually had in an hour. So I was like, as awful as that was, it's actually made us realize the demand for this. Now, will any of them come back? Probably not. So I was like, they might not want to ever buy from us again. But it did make us realize, okay, if we're going to start putting money back in and actually really invest in this business and really invest in the stock, like we need to be up on our numbers. And we also need to, we took our fulfillment back in-house for about a year and a half and we got our own warehouse. I was like, I cannot hand this to anybody else. I have to have eyes over this. I have to have full control. So we got a warehouse, we got warehouse staff, Paul built all the benches, like we made packing stations. We were like, we have to just take control because we were terrified of handing it off to anybody else again. And look, it was one of these things that just happened. It was no one's fault. It just happened. But we were terrified. And that's the moment where we went, oh, this is bigger than we ever imagined it would be. And when the trauma of that had subsided, it still makes me itch when I think about it. We actually went, oh, okay, like this is the size that the demand is at the moment. But like when I say that was the hardest lesson ever, it was I must have aged about 10 years. Like, it was the talk of the town. And I wanted to curl up in a hole and never be seen again. I was so upset. There was people going, oh my God, this is Mickey Mouse situation. Like, you don't know how to run a business. Just give it up now. Like, you know, the usual kind of like, I told you so, it was never going to work. And you have to try and block it out. And to be honest, again, if I hadn't had Paul, who just was like, he's very calm under pressure. And obviously he was stressed as well, but he's there going, we'll handle it, we'll handle it. Well, I was like, we can't handle it. Yeah. I was freaking out. I'm definitely better at handling situations like that now. I'm much calmer in crisis than I used to be. I used to paralyze in fear. And I think now I've learned to kind of go, I think because we've gotten through so many like ups and downs that I'm like, we've done it before, we can do it again.
I'm sure all the millionaires and billionaires in the world will tell you, it's just another day in business.
Yeah. You know? And I think all your firsts in business are very hard and very scary. You know, the first mess up or the first like negative email or the for anything first that's negative is very scary. But thankfully, there's been a lot more firsts that have been such highs. And I wouldn't change it for the world. It was the thing that like rocked us to our core, but also made us realize the power of this business and the power of our customer and how much it was in demand. And that's what made us back it more.
A big thanks to Yoplait Skyr for supporting the Good Glow this season. I love quality ingredients when it comes to my food. A lot of you will know I'm most happy in the kitchen coming up with new recipes. So how did I use Skyr this week? Well, I do love a good dip. So this week I made a beautiful, tasty and nutritious Skyr yogurt dip with carrots, cucumbers and crackers. This is the perfect little plate when you're watching the rugby, when your friends come over. So head over to thegoodglow.ie for this week's recipe. And don't forget, you can pick up an 850 gram tub of Skyr Natural in Aldi.
I think after our chat that we had at Kim's event, I've said to so many people since then, Rosie and Paul have created viral clothes.
It's mad.
You know, you see a video or we're used to content going viral.
Yeah. But
your clothes are viral. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
It is really strange. And it's still strange to us. Like everywhere we go, we see someone wearing it. And if you ever see me and you're wearing Fourth Arc and I look like I'm very cool about it, I'm not inside. I'm really not inside. But I don't want to do that. Because some people are probably like, I don't even know you. I just bought this. Like someone bought it for me. Or, you know, I don't want to go up and be like, that's Fourth Arc. But if I ever look like I'm playing it cool, I am dying inside. And it never fails to like, I'm like, that person is supporting our business, which is creating the life we have right now and is feeding my kids and is, you know, is paying the wages of my whole team. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate every single person that wears it, that shares it. Like it's not just like when a celebrity shares it or someone with a following, it's the everyday person. Like I go into my Pilates classes and there's always someone wearing Fourth Arc and I'm like, so cool.
One of the best touching things I've ever seen about Fourth Arc is you shared it on one of your social media pages and a girl said that I wear my Fourth Arc stuff in Australia when I'm feeling a bit lonely because somebody Irish will always comment.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? I like instantly when we saw that, we were like, that is like, it's a piece of home because it's such an Irish brand. And I think it's obviously led us to kind of lean into Australia as well and kind of realize that there's an army of the Irish all over the world.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about this because this is something that I've noticed about you over the last year and just how your behaviors have changed. So Hal Elrod in The Miracle Morning, he says, your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development because success is something you attract by the person you become. So Hal Elrod, he was on my podcast before, I'll actually link it because it's really good for personal and professional development. He said, if your personal development, so like the things that you're doing behind the scenes in your private life, say you rate them a 2 out of 10, so you're not really looking after yourself, you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not doing the things that keep you well, so say that's a 2, your business is never going to be at a 10. So you need to actually first work on your personal development in order to create a successful business. And he says success is something you attract by the person you become. So what has Rosie Connolly done in the last 4 or 5 years that has helped you? Because let's face it, Fourth Arc, it's not a fluke. It's not something that's been easy to create. But what did you sacrifice? What have you done to in order to create that?
Do you know what? I think I've always been somebody who is really into personal development, really self-aware. I've been self-aware for years. I'm very in tune with like how I'm feeling. I'm able to vocalize how I feel if I'm anxious, and almost to my detriment, I think sometimes I can like overanalyze myself, and I really analyze the people around me, and I'm really open to like changing. I think I'm never someone who's like, I have it all right. I actually love changing. I think it's such a, I love the fact that I don't even recognize myself in my 20s, and I don't even know if I like her. Like, you know, she had a tough time, but I feel like if you're not changing and you're not developing as a person, and you don't look back at some of the decisions you made and went, oh my God, then you're not growing. And I've always been really interested in like building up my mental strength and really feeling like getting to know myself. And therapy for me has just been life-changing. I've spoken about therapy. I've gone to therapy on and off for years, first for grief when my dad passed away, then a break for a while, then for anxiety, for panic attacks. And now I just go for the chats. Like I go and I will sit with my therapist, and sometimes I'm like, I'll say to Paul, like, I have a therapy session. He's like, oh yeah, cool. He's like, is there anything on your mind? Because he's like a therapist to me. I tell him everything. And I'm like, no, I have like nothing to talk about. An hour later, and we've delved into something that I just love figuring out why I do things, what the behavior patterns are, and having someone challenge me on them, and me going, actually, yeah, I need to work on that. Or I handle that really well. Or seeing to change. So seeing how I would have handled things, and then seeing that maturity and kind of growth. And actually, like my therapist would always say to me, she's like, I can see you changing. Like I can see you handling things differently. It's amazing to see. To me, therapy has changed my life. And I think everyone, and don't wait until you need it. Like just go if you can. Therapy is so, so important. And it's then led me into really understanding what my body needs. Because I live a lot up here, and I don't get into my body enough. And
so getting out of your head into your heart and soul.
Oh, I spent years up here and not really listening to my body. And like I abused my body in my 20s. The crap I ate and never exercised. And I'm like, now I nourish myself correctly. Within reason, still love a glass of wine, but yeah. I nourish myself. I exercise. And I found the exercise that works for me. So I found that like high intensity, because I'm someone who has quite a high level of cortisol, and like I need to calm my nervous system a lot. High intensity exercise actually makes me a little bit stressed. And I know it's meant to, but not in a good way. And then I kind of discovered Pilates I actually used to do it years ago, and then I took it back up. And I really found that exercise not only builds strength in my muscles, it keeps my cortisol low, but then it also so mindful. So I feel like I get like a meditation out of it as well, because you can't think of anything else other than your breath, your movement, don't fall off the machine. Like you are just transported. And I think I've stuck at it. I've been going like 4 or 5 times a week, every week since the beginning of last year. And it's changed my life. And I know that sounds really cliche, but it genuinely, to find an exercise that I skip out the door to do, regardless of how my week is going, and that I feel stronger, I feel mentally stronger, my body feels stronger, and then my stress levels are low. I think everything else is a bonus. If it helps my body, great, but it works for my head.
Would you say then Fourth Arc has allowed you to be less of a people pleaser, or it's allowed you to make your circle smaller, which is your happy place?
Yeah, I am so protective of my space. Like I'm funny about my home. Like Paul used to slag me because he'd be like, are we ever going to have like a house party? And I'm like, no, like I cannot. My home is my absolute, like when you come through the store, it's my safe place. I don't have a lot of people in my house because this is where I am completely myself. And just like the guard is down. I feel like I've given a lot of my personal life away on social media, and I'm trying to get a little bit of that back to the point where I'm more comfortable. And so it's not that I'm not going to share. Of course I'm going to share. I've got a camera here filming. Like I share what I'm comfortable to share now. And I feel like I'm finding my voice a bit more, not so much on social media, because to me, social media doesn't mean that much to me anymore, in that it's not what I value myself by. yeah. is my social media. I feel like it's my relationships outside of social media. It's my role as a mom, as a wife, as a business owner, as a colleague for all our staff. Like that, those relationships mean a lot more to me. And I think if I can show up authentically there, then that's all that matters. And actually, I'm so comfortable with our team because they're just such amazing people. And I think when they joined or when they come on board, I don't put on a front. So then I don't have to feel like I have to keep up this front of like, I'm the boss. I'm able to be real with them and be soft and be, you know, emotional. And I don't want them to ever think that they can't be like that as well. We're all human. Doesn't matter what job you do, you're still human. And we all have moments where, you know, there could be something outside of work that's just really throwing you. And like, that's one thing we talk about with our staff is if you need therapy, come to us. We'll support you. We'll pay for your therapy if you need it. That is something that we stand behind because I know the value of therapy. Paul has been in therapy. It's like we all know the value it has on not just your work life, but your home life, your overall everything. So if we can support and say to our staff, if there's ever anything, whether it's inside or outside of work, and you need help and you need therapy, just email me and I'll get it sorted. And it's between you and the therapist. And I think that's important. I think more, you know, organizations need to look after the mental health of their staff. Because I've seen the impact it's had. Like Paul ended up out of work for a little while last year with stress and literally was like out of work and ended up in hospital with stress. And we've seen what stress can do. And I think it's just no job is ever worth that. Like it's just not. And I always think if I would hate the thoughts of any of our staff coming into work stressed, you know, I think it's the wrong job then. And you need to do something that makes you, that fills up your cup. And don't get me wrong, of course, there's days that are stressful, but overall, it should be something that makes you grow as a person, as opposed to kind of stifling you.
Wow. And everything that you've learned in your life has brought you to that incredible understanding of people and the importance of therapy. And now you're applying that to your business.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. You're right. It's the awareness of people and psychology. And I think I'm so interested in human beings, not just business, but like just humans as humans. And I think when you realize that even in a business setting, all of your team are just human beings and their moms or their dads or their brothers and sisters, they all have the same stresses in life and you have to factor that in. They're not robots, you know, and I think once you can understand that about people, not just in a work setting, but understanding that we're all flawed. No one's going to ever get it right all the time. But I think if we have a bit more consideration and understanding for people making mistakes or struggling a bit, then it would be a nicer place in the world.
Because when I was out in your office, Nima said to me that you and Paul came in at Christmas and you demanded everyone down tools and went home. And she said, it's the most amazing place to work. So, you know, that's incredible to hear. And I think it does shine through in all the work that you guys and the shoots and all of your success. Okay, last question. And I've been thinking about this for the last few minutes. What is my last question going to be? And I think it's, what is it like to go on this fourth arc journey with your soulmate?
Oh, that's such a nice question. I'm a crier. You're going to make me cry. And he's sitting across the way here as well. It has been an absolute whirlwind. And it's been such a journey. Like, I would not want to do this with anybody else. I wouldn't have done it with anybody else. We have grown. Do you know what's amazing to see? It's to see his growth and to see him grow as a person and see him step into a completely different role for him and flourish and thrive. And I'm so proud of him. And I know he's so proud of me. He tells me all the time. And to be able to do that and bring our kids along on that journey is just, it's such a privilege to be able to mix our home life, family life, work life. It's an absolute dream come true. And it's funny, that wasn't on my vision board, being able to bring the whole family on this journey, but it should have been because it trumps everything that's ever been on a vision board before.
Rosie Connolly, you're an absolute class act. I think you're one of the most beautiful people that I've ever met. You've always had my back over the last few years as I've started my small business, and I feel so much support from you and Paul at times, you know, when I've bumped into you at events and things like that. So, but thanks for inspiring me in my business. And I hope people who are listening, who have a dream, who have something on their vision board, will feel the encouragement after this conversation to take it off the page and go find someone to help you make that a reality if you don't have enough within yourself to do it.
You don't have to do it alone. You can do it with somebody. And I don't think I would have done it on my own, being totally honest. I think it took the two of us together to get it moving. And that's okay. You know, if you don't have someone right now, or maybe just try, take a step and try. And it isn't like it's scary, but it's so worth it. So worth it.
Can you leave us with, do you have a specific affirmation or mantra?
Enjoy the journey, because I think so many people, and I would have been the same, would have spent a lot of time being, I'll be happy when I get to this goal. And actually the happiness is in the day to day. And I always say, if Fourth Arc fell off the face of the earth tomorrow, I've enjoyed every second of it. The ups, the downs, everything in between. It has given me more than I could have ever imagined. So I don't expect any more from the business. I've learned so much, and the journey has been the gift that and it's the gift that just keeps on giving. But just enjoy the journey, because we don't know what's ahead. And life is just so precious. And like, you know, everything can change in a heartbeat. And I think, if your life is good now and you've good things in your life, we all have good things that we can pick out, try and enjoy them, because it's so special to be able to have something that you can go, yeah, I love that part of my life.
Oh, it's one of my favorite. We have a little card deck of affirmations, our guidance cards. And on one of them, it says, enjoy the journey, you will when you look back. Thank you so much, Rosie.
Huge thank you to Rosie for that chat. I learned so much from it, and I hope there was lots of aha moments for you in there. Please rate and review if you enjoyed the podcast. Massive thanks to Yoplait Skier for all the support. And just to let you know, before I go, we have 30% off our website all of this week with the code Mother's Day. So if you've got any wellness gifts to pick up, we've beautiful water bottles, journals, guidance cards, and lots more over on thegoodglow.ie. And the code Mother's Day will get you 30% off. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.